I'm just getting the recording started. Okay, that's ready to go. And you said you had 1335, sir?
I have 1330 exactly, ma'am.
Okay. And I will go ahead and do the roll call if you'd like me to.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Okay, for today's meeting, everyone should be on the phone. Myself, Sherry Schaefer, Colonel Matthew Pudge Davis, Mr. John Rockwell, Mr. Travis Comet, Deputy Chief Michael Curl, Mr. David Reed, Mr. Chris Letterman, Mr. Scott Stormo, ASAC Adam Pierce. Did anyone else join us today? Okay, sir, that does conclude the roll call.
Yes, ma'am. All right, to open it up, does anybody have any opening statements that they'd like to make? All right, silence is consent. Moving forward, I'd like to make a... Did everyone have an opportunity to read the minutes that Ms. Sherry sent out?
Colonel, this is Adam Pierce. I've read them. I'll make a motion to accept the minutes as written.
Okay, we have a motion to accept them. Do we have a second?
This is Deputy Chief Michael, I second the motion.
All right. Okay, so the minutes are approved. Thank you for making the motion and for seconding. All right, on to old business. All right, for old business, let's go over the Quantar replacement. Mr. Stormo?
Yes. Hey, Colonel. This is Scott Stormo. So we met with Motorola every week. We met with them this morning. As the snow is starting to melt, we're getting back to the point where we're going to start trying to install some GTR sites to replace our Quantars out at these total of 75 sites the state owns. So that probably will begin in earnest sometime around the middle of May again and should run through the most, if not all, of the summer and into the fall. So not really much more to offer at this point other than there's going to be outages ongoing throughout the summer. Each one of those, as you've seen from the ones that have been done in the past, are down for about 8 hours or so at a site when they're changing out the equipment. So, and then after that happens, currently the state has contract to upgrade the system software, and the DOD and the Muni are pending contracts to do that. So once our Quantars are replaced, the master site updates would happen as soon as all the partners have a contract in place. If any questions, that's the update on our state's refresh project.
Are there any questions for Mr. Stormo? Okay, moving on to the State Interoperability Governing Body. I did not receive any updates about that. Does anybody have any updates from the January meeting?
Colonel Davis, this is John Rockwell. There are no updates at this point for the State Interoperability Governing Body, or SIGBI. We are still waiting for the governor to digest the 911 working group information. Also, during my update, I'll talk a little bit about the SCIP and how we plan to use the SCIP to re-engage. Also, moving on to number C, long-term cost-share solution, is the same status. And so B and C, we still have no updates from the January meeting at this time.
Hey, thank you very much, Mr. Rockwell, for that update. I did not see Mr. Woodall on here, and I do not.
I am, sir.
Okay.
Sir, I am.
Mr. Woodall, do you have an update on the DoD contract for system upgrade?
Yes, we have the Air Force is tracking the requirements and working the funding. I still don't have a confirmed funding commitment from the Army. So we're still working on that, and we'll keep you up to date on that. We understand that the update is scheduled for the first part of fiscal year 2022. Is that correct?
Fiscal year 2022. So it's
yes. Is that correct?
It's possible it's slipping the first quarter of next calendar year, but it was kind of being targeted for the last quarter of this calendar year.
Right, which would be our fiscal year beginning. So it might be in the second quarter of the federal fiscal year. Again, we're tracking that. We understand the funding requirement. We have the proposal from Motorola, and that has been promulgated to the services to work the funding. So we'll keep on top of that and then provide you updates on a monthly basis.
And worth mentioning, I know Tim is well aware of this, but oftentimes, you know, Motorola schedules these upgrades, you know, 9 months to a year and a half in advance. So if there's not a contract in place, they won't necessarily hold a slot open for us on the calendar beyond a certain point. So
correct.
I'd say only, and we don't think that we really have, we can't wait that long to get the contracts in place. Tim understands what I'm saying, and the Muni understands that as well. So
we're tracking that. Yes, Scott. Any questions with regard to the contract for system upgrade? Okay, that's all I have, sir.
Thanks, Mr. Woodall. Appreciate it. Last bit of old business was the Motorola lifecycle presentation that Mr. Brandt gave. It was there's a lot of information, but it was very informative, and so I really appreciate him giving that update. That was very helpful. All right, Mr. Rockwell, over to you for a user council update, sir.
You might be muted, John.
Thank you, Scott. I was muted. I thought I clicked it in time. Again, thank you, Colonel Davis. The ALMR user group continues to meet monthly and is well attended, and all positions are filled at this time. The highlights of the meetings are updates from the Operations Management Office and Chris Litterman, as well as the System Management Office, Travis Connett, the State of Alaska, Scott Stormo, and DOD, Tim Woodall. The theme of the past meetings has been focused, as you can imagine, on the ALMR upgrades and the switch to TDMA. Another topic that I might bring up at this meeting is many members of the ALMR User Council and other subject matter experts have been working on updating our statewide communication implementation plan, or SCIP. The SCIP identifies strategic goals and objectives that represent priorities for delivering our vision for emergency communications interoperability. And these goals and objectives are focused on governance, technology, and funding. Our goal is to deliver that final report in early May timeframe, and therefore I would be pleased to submit a copy to the ALMR Executive Council at that time. One thing I mentioned earlier is Since the SCIP has been, or I'm sorry, since the Zigbee has been languishing, we plan to use the SCIP as that kind of like springboard to bring up governance yet again to the governor's office. We have a lot of interested parties. We realize the importance for governance for interoperable communications. And at that point, I think that's all I have. I'll defer to Chris Letterman for all the other additional operation updates that have been working through in the user council. Thank you.
Hey, thanks, Mr. Rockwell. Mr. Letterman, over to you, sir.
Thank you, Colonel. My first bullet point is the interoperability zone. This is just really an update to keep the council informed. Discussions continue on best how to utilize the new interop zones, particularly the central zone, which is because that area now encompasses a swath of the state that is so large, it's just generated some conversations that I think needed to be had anyway. And I can report that at the February User Council meeting, we had a member agency discuss some of the conversations that are going on within the central area among the member agencies that have dispatch capabilities. So I think that's a good thing moving forward. Any questions on interoperability zones? Okay, I'll move forward. My next bullet point, I intended to have something to be distributed with this package for April's meeting. However, our designer, Hoke Designs, has not been able to turn that around. I do anticipate seeing something very soon, and as soon as that comes in, that'll be distributed out to the Executive Council. Any questions on the AOMR logo contest? Okay, moving on. Next bullet point is on outreach. This is an update to the council. The OMO has completed all of the local and state agency outreach activities. This has been really good for me to sort of get out in front of the organization and introduce folks and get to hear kind of the word of the customer, if you will. And the next group that I will be reaching out to is going to be the non-DOD federal agencies. So that's probably going to be the remainder of this month. I'll be working on reaching out to those folks. The other thing that I think is worth mentioning during these outreach calls, we discuss things like the TDMA upgrade and what that impact means to the agencies that are on ALMR. And while we don't have a final state, if you will, of when that's going to happen, there was some, I would say, edge conversation for the Motorola presentation back in January that it would be good for the Executive Council to consider a final decision date of when TDMA-capable subscriber units are the only subscriber units that will be allowed onto the system. And in some of the discussion that goes behind that, we've heard 3 to 5 years. I think the recommendation from the OMO would be 5 years from when the ALMR system becomes TDMA-capable. This gives a lot of the municipalities the runway to get it into the budget planning cycles and just have enough conversation so that folks are comfortable with approving it. So that's something that I just wanted to put a pin in and make sure that the council is aware of. There's going to need to be a date set eventually for when FDMA radios are no longer allowed on the system. So I'll pause there and just see if there's any discussion.
Yeah, Chris, this is Tim. I think one of the one of the factors that's extremely critical in this decision point is the funding for subscribers. As you know, the cost of an APX radio averages about $5,000 per radio, and then getting TDMA it added to that is additional cost. So a lot of the organizations still have XTX 5000s, and those radios are at end of life and do need to be replaced. But there are some organizations that purchased APX 6000s and are an APX type model that can do a TDMA on the new infrastructure, but they didn't purchase the TDMA option. So there's a lot of funding, financial situation that people are going to be facing in this process. So I think the focus should be on getting everyone the cost, maybe having Motorola help us through the process of making sure everyone understands what that cost is, and then getting some kind of a funding push going on to ensure the agencies are receiving the funding. And then once we know that the agencies are able to get funding and move, then I think setting a date might be, I mean, certainly a date to be funded or a good date, but a date where you ultimately have to work TDMA may not be something we want to have. We may not want to have an absolute is what I'm saying, because some agencies financially may not be able to move to the new radio as fast as others, or may have more long-term issues with getting funding. Just a consideration in that thought process of a final date that really needs to be thought through.
Yeah, thank you, Tim. That's very true, and it's not anything that I'm treating, you know, lightly at all. But it is something that I think this body needs to think about. Is there any more discussion? Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Putz here. I have a quick question, kind of along the lines that Mr. Woodall was just, the string he was tugging on was, if we can get Motorola to give agencies a cost estimate, if you will, I think it would be helpful if there was a possibility to lock in those prices, so to give agencies the opportunity to know how much it's going to cost over time, because if all they have is a rough order of magnitude up front, and then the cost changes from year to year, that's going to make it even harder, I think, to get to where mm-hmm. you want to be with going all the way to TDMA and eliminating the FDMA. Just a thought for discussion in the future, but I definitely think it's something we need to consider and review costs and then timelines over.
Thank you, Colonel. I like that approach, going back to Motorola and asking them to provide some sort of, like you said, rough order magnitude that we could then sort of show back to the agencies on the system so that they have at least an idea of what they're going to be up against. And I can definitely understand trying to lock that in as well, because you have a conversation with some, you know, finance department, and then a year or two later, the number's gone up by some factor of two or something like that. It's difficult to back out of that conversation. So I definitely thank you for that. Other thoughts on this? Okay, I'll move on. Next bullet point for the OMO is the coverage and site prioritization survey. We completed this back in the fall, and we sent out thank yous to all the agencies that participated. The next steps for this, we'll be working with the Alaska Public Safety Communication Office and really kind of investigating ideas to address areas that were identified and seek out partnerships to either expand capacity and capability or look at ideas for new sites. Any questions on the coverage and site prioritization survey? Okay. Moving on. The annual inventory confirmation. This is an exercise that the OMO manages. It came from a legislative audit finding. They had done an audit and requested that the OMO oversee the inventory of the subscriber units that are out on the system, even though they are not owned or operated by the OMO. However, these letters go out every year, and we sort of have to do a lot of back and forth with the agencies to get them to send this. It's really just one form that they sign attesting that they've done the inventory of their radios. So far, we have 90 responses. The deadline for this is April 30. We've been sending out reminders, and those are going to get a little bit more noisy as we get closer to April 30. We'll be sending out weekly reminders, and then as we go into May, we'll be actually calling the agencies that haven't responded yet. So any questions on the annual inventory confirmation?
Hey, Mr. Letterman, it's Pudge again. If any of those are that have not responded are DOD agencies, I would like to have a list of those, please, and I will contact them directly. Over.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Colonel. Moving on to training. We have been working on our next virtual training course. This is going to feature interoperability introduction, and it dovetails nicely with the interoperability zone change that was done earlier this year. These trainings have been getting a lot of positive response from folks. When I call out and I do these outreach calls and talk to folks, they've really appreciated being able to just point their individuals in their agencies to the website, and they can sit down and watch, you know, the introduction to trunking, for example. So this is a very definite positive approach for our training problem, and we're going to continue to do that. The other thing that we're working on is this, we're doing an exploration, if you will, on what we're calling video vignettes, which are small, short, single topic video recordings. And the idea here is to produce a library of videos that individuals on the system can go and get like immediate answers to a question. And these are things that run the gamut from programming to actual radio operation and radio use. The other thing that I would share under this training bullet is that our current trainer, Mr. Joe Quickle, with Five Star Team, has announced his retirement at the end of June. So the OMO is looking and asking for individuals that might be interested in helping us continue the good work of training and producing these online training courses, because honestly, it doesn't get any better when from the perspective of uptake, if you have somebody who's using and has used the system to train. Any questions on training? Okay, moving on. So I'd like to share with you the March system statistics. For the calls, we had 1.2 million, which is up 170,000 calls from February. On the push to talks, we had 2.2 million. That's up 333,000 from the February statistics. System busies, we only had 257, and that's up 86 from the February statistics. Subscriber count is now at 23,303 subscriber units on the system. That's up 31 units from February. And then this metric packet that you received also has a new slide at the very back. It's called the monthly sites below 3.9s. And this is a metric to track those sites across the year that fall below our safe column, 4.9s specification. And for the reporting purposes, this report runs a month behind. So we're actually looking, instead of looking at March, we're looking at February, and we only had five sites on the list for that month. Any questions about the system metrics? Okay. Colonel, I think that is that's all I have.
Thank you, Mr. Letterman. Appreciate it. Great conversation. Is there any new business that needs to be brought before the council?
Colonel, this is John Rockwell. I don't have new business, but if I might take just a quick moment and give Chris Letterman a shout out for the work that he's been doing, especially on the website. I know he mentioned it a couple times during training and confirmation of inventory and stuff like that. Chris, you've done a fabulous job, and I just wanted to say thank you again. And for those who have not been out to the new Alaska Land Mobile Radio Network website, I encourage you to do so. And so thank you for allowing me the quick opportunity for that commercial.
Yes, sir. So always an appropriate time to give praise in public. Any other questions, comments, or new business for anyone? I'll pause for just a few seconds. All right, thank you. All right, so as of right now, the next meeting is scheduled for the 15th of July at 13:30 or 1:30 p.m. for those of you not military, at the Alaska Public Safety Communications Service Conference Room on East 5900 East Tudor Road. I am very excited at the opportunity to meet with everybody, considering we haven't I don't think I've seen any of you except for Tim. So I'm super excited that we might be able to get to meet in person. We'll wait for Commissioner Morgan to kind of make that decision on our meeting. But I'm very excited to see everybody. That'll be a good time. So unless there is no other comments, I move to adjourn the meeting.
This is Adam Pierce, I'll second.
Thank you. Ms. Schaefer, is there anything else for today, ma'am?
No, sir.
All right, thank you, everyone. It's good work we're doing. It's important work, so thank you so much for coming, and really look forward to seeing everybody in July. I'm so hopeful. All right. Everybody have a great week.
Thank you very much, Colonel. Bye-bye now.
Thank you. Bye-bye.